things, of course, we are judged based on us accepting Christ as Lord and Savior. Amen? But those are the, is it ever remarkable that that's the only thing he mentions? I was hungry, you fed me. I was naked, you clothed me. I was sick, you came to visit me. I was in prison, you came to see me. Do you find that? I find that stunning. All the aspects of living a life in Christ, and those are the ones that he mentions. It's a vision of judgment, vision of connection, vision of that day. Picture this. It's December 25th, 24th, this year. It's early in the morning. It's maybe 5, 6 o'clock in the morning. And you've been waiting online since maybe midnight the night before. You took Christmas Eve out and you're waiting online downtown Phoenix at the convention center. And maybe you've got dental work that has just been driving you crazy for months. Or maybe there's just something, you're not right physically, and you can't go to a doctor, and you've been waiting, and it may even require surgery. It's Christmas morning, and you've been waiting online. The doors finally open up, and you're waiting online with thousands and thousands of people. You're overwhelmed. Consider the anxiety that you have right now. You're with a couple thousand people waiting in line, and the door is open. Think about how lonely you could be feeling right now. What if nobody went with you? You just showed up. You know you need medical care. You don't know how long you're going to live. You don't know what's going on. You don't know what they're going to tell you. You have no idea what awaits you. And those doors open, and it's Christmas morning. And everybody else there's Christmas trees up, and it's a celebratory day. And you're anticipating medical care. And you're a little embarrassed even because you showed up because you can't. There's no other way you can get some care. And you come in, and it's controlled chaos, and it's a huge, huge facility, and there's people everywhere, and they're just kind of learning what they're about to do also. And the first person who comes up and makes them feel at home is you. The first person that comes up, and maybe it's, who knows how long it's been since someone has shaken your hand or put their arm around you. Think of the anxiety that they have. And the first person that makes them feel it's going to be okay could be sitting in this room. Think of the warmth that comes over them. Think of the opportunity. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and I waited in line all night. And all of a sudden, this huge auditorium opens and there's doctors and there's dentists and there's optometrists and there are massage therapists. Everybody is there. And you are overwhelmed. But one of our volunteers said, it's going to be okay. Merry Christmas. Why does that get the attention of God so much? How does that get the attention of Jesus so much that when he sits on his throne and all the nations are brought around him, he brings out the sheep and he said, look, you guys did this. Here's your inheritance. Do you see what a stunning passage? Bugged me for months. Why are those things part of the judgment and not the other things? Lord, we do a lot of things as Christians. Why did that what you remembered? And then I had to think back. Think back to the moment that Christ became real to you, the moment Jesus became real to you. Think back to that moment. All of a sudden, it clicked. Wow, there's a God in heaven. He loves me. He's saving me for eternity. Think about that time. Not only did your conception of God, your conception of Jesus change, but probably your conception of everybody around you changed also. All of a sudden, you are in a room full of sons and daughters of God, whether or not they knew it. Suddenly, the whole world changed and your whole paradigm shifts. And I got to tell you, I don't know you, but I've been here before, and I can sense that one of the first things that you experienced with other people was you were merciful to them and grace-driven to them. We see each other the way God sees them. They're eternally valuable. And the first thing, I'll tell you, a converted heart cannot help but help. You may have passed by people hurting before, but in Christ, you notice that hurt. Amen? You may have passed by people who were going through stuff before, but all of a sudden, that person mattered to you in a way that it had not mattered before. A converted heart cannot help but help. You probably were taken advantage of by some of the best con artists on the planet at that time, weren't you? Guess what? Let that happen again. I'd rather be taken advantage of by 100 people and catch one that really needed help. And I know, and I'm preaching to the choir here because I know what kind of community service ministry you have here. So I am preaching to the choir. You guys know, and you guys have a heart. You do homework supplies, and I keep track. I'm scattered all over the state, so I'm not here. I'll tell you, Lalitha has one problem, that she runs a program that's so good, I don't have to come and fix things. I tell our most successful people, I said, look, if you guys would just mess up once in a while, you'd see me because I got to go to where things are messed up. If things are running well, I just give you a call and say, thank you. We're that stretched. So you know what I mean? A converted heart can't help but help. And no matter what other things, worship, it's one aspect of the Christian life, helping. It's not the only one. There's teaching and there's worship and there's sharing the love and gospel of Christ. But correct me if I'm wrong, but a ministry of mercy authenticates all the rest. We can have the most glorious, mind-expanding, God-honoring worship. We could have teaching that rivals seminaries. We could have sharing the love of Christ that churches have not seen. But if we ignore a hurting person, our credibility drifts immediately. You can do a lot with a church, but if you're known as a church that will not help its neighbors, what does that do to all the other ministries? Credibility's like that. However, you can have an okay worship. You know, teaching can go up. You know, you can have fits and starts with sharing the gospel, and I know that can be hard. That's stress. But if you're known in a community as a church where if you need some help, you call this number, you visit this church, everything you do has credibility at that point. And that's why I think God says, "You, I was hungry and you fed me. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me." That is the one aspect of a Christian life that authenticates everything else that a church does. So you're walking in, and they guide you through, and they sign you up, and you wait. Maybe you're going to have surgery. Now, think of the stress someone is under. You're having surgery in an auditorium. You're having dental work. It's not in one of those plush offices with nice music and gas or something like that. You're having it in an auditorium. And loving hands are there, but it is still chaos. Can you imagine the anxiety someone goes through? They need a community like this to get them through that. And after everything is over, the doctor or the dentist or the optometrist has a piece of paper and says, "Well, we gave you some tests. In about a week, we'll have the results of those tests. Now, I see from where you live and for what you're getting tested for, the best place and the closest place to go to is the Chandler Seventh-day Adventist Church. That's how it's set up. The follow-up doesn't end at Pathways. The follow-up comes to your church. And you have what's called a health information center. And they say, yeah, okay, yeah, they'll be calling you. I don't know how we're going to call 8,500 people, but it's my job to figure out, by the way. That's why I don't sleep at night anymore. They will call you or text you just to remind you, but this is the address, this is the time that they're going to be open, and you're going to have a warm, welcoming church who has the results of your tests, or they have the glasses that you need, or they have the follow-up that you need. Think about that. What an opportunity to love people in your community. Several years ago, I was outside of ASU, and I was doing something with the Tempe Church, and I was at a Starbucks just kind of waiting. And some people who I knew from the seminar we'd given just started asking about the Seventh-day Adventist Church. They knew nothing about us. They didn't know what we were, who we were. And so I was just kind of explaining a little bit of who we are. I like to call us Methodists with attitude, by the way. Well, that's a long story. We don't have time for that one. But anyway. So this one student came up and she asked, well, do you guys do like evangelism? Do not ask an Adventist pastor if we do evangelism. What do you do? I said, oh, evangelism. Yes, we have evangelistic series. We've got prophecy studies. And we've got seminars and Bible studies and publications, signs of the times. We've got seminars on teaching people how to give seminars and studies on how to get Bible studies. And we've got radio and we've got television, Good News TV. I'm going on and on. And I thought, man, God is really lucky to have me right now because I got the list down. Thank you for laughing at that. But midway through, I'm kind of sensing that they're, you know, when you're talking and you kind of sense that the person just wants you to shut up so she can say something. Yeah, pretty much there. She said, no, I mean, do you guys do like evangelism? I go, what? Well, you know, evangelism, outreach. Huh? Well, we have evangelistic studies and Bible studies and signs of the times, and I went through the whole list. I said, no, I mean, you know, do you have like shelters or food shelves or clothing or medical things? And I realized that outside of my very comfortable Adventist circle, people defined evangelism very differently than we have defined it here. Outreach and evangelism is, are you feeding people? Are you clothing people? Are you taking care of sick that can't take care of themselves? Are you a helping, healing, loving presence in your community? And I've never been the same since. That's stuck with me. People define evangelism a lot differently. As a matter of fact, the more unchurched someone might be, the more they will define evangelism as community services, or at least they will judge the integrity and the credibility of the church by the effort that they put into these areas. You want to invite people to an evangelistic series? Be known as a place where people get healed and helped and loved. You've done these to the least of these. You've done these to who? To me, Jesus says. And I wonder, because I work with churches on church growth and evangelism and things like that, but I wonder if God will see how we treat the least of these before he sends the most of these to our church. I pray about that. I wonder if that's the missing step. And I know I'm preaching to the choir. But I wonder if God waits, because God blesses a church for evangelism, and I wonder if he sees, are you going to take care of the least of these first? And based on that, I will send you crowds to hear the gospel, because they can be trusted here. Connecting with the least of these may be the bedrock of a church that can effectively reach the most of these. So it's been a week, and you've had dental work, or maybe you've had surgery, or you've had tests. Now you can imagine waiting a week before medical tests. That's a rough week. You don't know what's in the, you don't know what's in that envelope. And a week goes by, and finally you show up, Chandler Seventh-day Adventist Church. And again, there's another line. Some churches who have been health information centers have had as many 500 or 600 people waiting at their door. What a problem that could be. And you're waiting. And you don't know what the test results are. And again, you're a little lonely. And now you got the anxiety. You don't know what's going to happen next. What are the tests going to say? And you got another new place to go, and you're a little embarrassed still. And now you realize that the next place you're going to walk into is a church building. I don't know what kind of baggage. Maybe you've had some really bad experiences with churches and church buildings before. And so walking into that is pretty stressful. And you walk in. And again, the first person that they see when those doors open could be you. You walk in, and again, what was maybe your whole life has you've just been an institutional person going from one place to another, and now you walk into the Chandler Adventist Church, and you're not just welcomed, but you're hugged again, and there's a group of people, and they're all glad to see you. And your church makes them feel at home. And not only do they get their tests, but this church has something new. They kind of heard about it when they're at the convention center. But they said this church may offer some programs or something to improve your health. Can Adventist churches do that? Oh yeah. In that health information center, not only do you get your test results, but that church can offer plans such as, and these are ready to go. Maybe you've been struggling with depression. Your health and your mind are so indelibly linked that there's some depression. And a church may offer a 4-week depression recovery. You've never thought about it before, and they ask you, well, how much is it going to cost me for depression recovery? And they say nothing. I said, you mean I can actually deal with depression? You're going to sit me in classes and teach me how to change my life a little bit for how much? And you say nothing. Or maybe it's diabetes. So many people, as we get older, that is a real factor. And they say, no, we offer a diabetes program. It happens in a couple days. Stop by. And your doctor has told you at Pathways that you are in a dangerous, dangerous number for diabetes. And you're thinking, I can't afford to take a diabetes program. And a church offers it for free. Or maybe it's just that you have a family and you don't know how to cook right. No, you know, a lot of people have not had the upbringing that we've had, and even a cooking school is an act of love. Or it could be just a whole general lifestyle change. Maybe the doctor said, if you don't make any big changes right now, I don't know how long you have. But there's a church in Chandler that can give you an eight-step program. It's called Celebrations. Some of you remember it as New Start. Do you think that person might even show up? New Start program. And then you go for 4 weeks. And maybe things open up to you. Like, I can take control of my health. I can take control of my diabetes. Depression is not forever. And you're making some friends as you go day in and day out. You're making some friends, maybe some others that are coming there, some people who've never been in a church before, and there's some connections there, and there's some other people. We can do this. And then after those 4 weeks, so you don't, you probably now know that health and a spiritual life, it's hard, they're connected. Your health and your spiritual life. If you, we can deal with the health part, but what if we also offered a 1 or 2 week talk about spirituality and health? It's called Living Longer, Living Stronger. That's one of many options. Did you know that the book of Daniel has scientifically proven ways of dealing with your spiritual life and your health? Would you be interested? If they've been treated like I know you treat people here, and they've made friends, chances are, you know what they're going to say? What have I got to lose? What else am I going to do? What if this happens? I was hungry and you fed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick, and not only did you treat my, not only did I get surgery, but you put me on a path to actually getting better. Not only was I getting better, but now I know what the great healer can do. And I know that the reason you guys are the way you are is because Jesus is working in your life. And I want that. I want that. It can happen. And you can be a part of it. In your bulletin, you have a flyer that kind of just mentions some, has a whole list of opportunities. The one at the bottom are non-medical general volunteers. We need a truckload of those. And then there's a website. I don't know. Yeah, there's a website, or talk to your pastor. If you want to see about volunteering, I'd be happy to share it with you. But pray about it. What if we celebrate Christmas this way? What a way for your family to celebrate Christmas. Get up 6 o'clock in the morning, Christmas Eve or Christmas Day or the day after Christmas, and come on out, and we may treat as many as 6, I've heard estimates of 6 to 9,000 people over a 3-day period. Yeah, that's what they're planning for. Do you have something to pray about now? Just pray for that one, okay? Because don't think we're not overwhelmed when we're putting this together. But I'm a small cog in a huge wheel. I'm probably the least qualified person to talk about this. But they gave me good notes. So let's pray about this. If you'd like to participate, call that number or look. It's whatever website is on your page here. Look it up, talk to your pastor, and we'll be getting you more information. I will be here to train people in, that's the website. It's Your Best Pathway to Health. If you plug in the other one, it'll come to there. And right up at the corner of the page there, you'll see it up, other way. Yeah, you'll see volunteer info. Just click on that. Is that volunteer? Yeah. And there you go. And it starts out with welcome volunteers, and those exclamation points are for real. They're glad to hear from you. And just follow those steps. I will be coming back for training. We are offering a very special Pathway to Health rally, probably at the Camelback Church. You'll be getting more email on it. Your pastor will, September 22nd through the 24th. And then we're following up with training just to work with you and work with you. And so you're ready and confident. And it just means you got to put up with me once in a while for training. What do you think? Merry Christmas?